annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils Payos.
It is season 2, episode 4 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Ben Edwards, as next to me is Canberra's officially third favourite fighting son, the Duke of Canberra. Duke Didier, welcome to the show, mate.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talking Takedowns, the first episode with your guests, Scotty Masters and Ben Edwards.
How long have you been working on that for?
Mate, it's what I do.
Duke can't cut a promo.
It all rolls off the tongue, boys.
Mate, I heard all the stories from when he was a whippersnapper ringing up the radio station. Don't worry about that back in the day. Obviously, Stevie Payos was, if you saw him on the TV when Dave Tassos was walking out, pouting. I put the photo up on the Give Yourself an Uppercut Facebook page.
Dave had his game face on. Steve was just catfish, like just pout, man, pout.
Yeah, indeed. It was
resting pout face.
It was pretty awesome, wasn't it? A lot of people saying, I hope he wasn't taking a selfie. I don't think he was.
Nah, he did about 40,000 snaps.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah.
Team Toussaint, all in blue t-shirts, payoff, straight out in the suit.
He was just waiting for Buffett.
But at least it was a blue suit.
It's just looking like he could get the call up for the ring girl. Straight up, ready to go.
100%. He was waiting for Buffett at the heart attack. Well, he had his microphone in his pocket.
Yeah, 100%. He had photos. If you're friends with Steve on Snapchat, you would have seen them. Photos with Buffer, which like for him, I mean.
He's got both the buffs now.
That'd be like you with Fedor, wouldn't it? You know, me standing next to Slash. X-rated. You know, Duke standing next to Duke. It'd be awesome.
That's exactly right.
Oh, dear. Well, we're going to have a good chat to Duke soon and find out where things are at with you because, mate, obviously, Brace earlier this year, you won the light heavyweight strap, so which is a sensational effort. That was in our off season, so we didn't get to talk about it too much, but you would have been happy with that performance.
Yeah, real pleased. It'll be great. Yeah, we'll rehash it. We'll go blow by blow. Let's go through it.
15-minute fight. I'll talk about it for 45 minutes.
Now, Benny, obviously the big story, Jeff Horn and Dave Tassain as well on a local level, which you're going to cover off in Bifurama.
I certainly will cover all of that as well as a preview for the UFC 213 coming up. Got two crazy chicks. And an Aussie-born New Zealander are going to go for it against a crazy Cuban.
Nice. All right. Well, we will get to that in a matter of moments. We're going to get stuck into a song now to kick it all off, thanks to the Butcher Shop. Stone Sour, who are banned out of the States, and Corey Taylor, who is the lead singer of Slipknot.
Yeah, I know that name.
Yeah,
so is he the one that died?
No.
Was he the one with the big nose? The one with the big nose died.
No, well, Corey Taylor's still alive. He was the lead singer of
Slipknot. What was the one with the big nose's name?
No idea.
You're the music guy, man.
Yeah, but that was the whole idea with Slipknot. They all just wore boiler suits and funny masks, and you didn't know who they were. And Corey Taylor, after a while, went, well, I want to be famous.
Do they have any other songs except for Wait and Bleed?
Slipknot?
Yeah.
Oh, heaps. They got about 5 or 6 albums, Benny.
If he was the dead one, how would he be joining new bands?
Mate.
That's true.
Let's block him out, man.
All right, let's get stuck into this. Stone Sour. So it's Corey Taylor. It's very different from what you would think from Slipknot. This is called Song Number 3 to kick us off. Episode 4, Season 2 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the crew at the Butcher Shop.
If you take a step towards me, you will take my breath away. So I'll keep you close and keep my secret safe. No one else has ever loved me. No one else has ever tried. I never understood how much I could take. Then I saw the worst was over. When I laid my eyes on you, it was all that I could do to know my place. Out of all the past illusions, out of all the dreams come. If you cry out for more, if you reach
and you were just listening to song number 3 by Stone Sour on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
All right. Benny didn't want to do the back announce. Jukey's gone, I've got this under control.
I screwed up my first three.
That was pretty good.
That's not bad.
I was pretty impressed with that. All right, let's
just ask him.
I got this.
Let's get stuck into this.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Bifferama.
That's insane in the membrane.
All right, it is Bifferama time. Benny, you get first cab off the rank this week, son. And a huge week for Aussie boxing and local boxing as well. UFC 213 coming up, mate. Take it away.
Well, I'm not going to start on UFC 213. I'm starting with the boxing, man. Obviously, our man Dave Toussaint taking on Shane Mosley Jr. There was over 10 million viewers on ESPN Live and over 51,000 at the venue. Awesome performance.
Yeah.
As we spoke about last week, Dave's fight was the first fight on the live broadcast in America. So, awful lot of people got their first taste of him, because before this, there was no footage of him on YouTube. There was nothing.
Yep. And that's very smart by Gary Hamilton and his dad, Dean Toussaint.
Absolutely.
No footage. No one knows. No one can read what he's doing.
No, there was the tiniest little bit of footage last week if you went looking for it. It was just that tiny bit.
That's been intentional. They did that on purpose. That, you know,
there was no fancy shit.
Everyone else their stuff up straight away, you know, including me and Ben. But Dave, he's hidden his stuff really well and looked like he's come out and he's performed on the biggest stage of around. Yeah.
Let's be honest, though. How good was Shane Mosley's chin? Because he copped some great shots.
I ran into Gazza today at Stockade.
Yeah.
He was a bit tired and possibly hung
over. A bit emotional.
But he, he was. That's the first thing I said was, mate, Dave did awesome. And how about Mosley's chin?
Yeah.
Because, as I said, mate, I've been hit with them and they hurt, man.
Yeah.
Let alone in 10-ounce gloves and no headgear.
Yeah.
And for a guy who's 50 kilos lighter than me.
Well, he's got 8 knockouts. Of his 11 wins, that ain't knockout.
Yeah, he is a banger, mate.
He's finishing dudes, and Mosley was awesome.
Yeah,
I thought Dave was one step above, but Mosley was awesome.
Yeah, mate.
No, good the fact set. That
very different style to his dad. Very different.
Yeah,
much more. Probably a better chin, but obviously has to take more shots.
Yeah,
not as fast, but good timing.
Yeah, that's
right. He kept Dave honest. He had to work for it, but I gave it 5 rounds to 3 at the worst.
Yeah, I thought it was 6-2.
Yeah, that was my first initial
thought.
But
I'm just a numpty on the lounge drinking
beers. It was 2 American judges and 1 Argentinian.
Yeah, right.
So they might have been a bit favourable for some. But
well, the commentator was definitely favourable to Mosley Jr.
The Colonel.
He didn't give Dave a look in the whole fight.
Someone tell him to stop bleaching his hair.
Danny Green was very, very complimentary when it came to Dave Toussaint too.
Yeah, I know someone who likes Danny Green's commentary.
Yeah, well, I was sitting with Ben during the fight. I said, Danny Green's, he's a great commentator. He's putting it out for layman's, you know, everything. I'm being, shut up, man. I hate Danny Green commentary.
You know what?
If you're an idiot who knows nothing about boxing, Danny's great.
He was horrible when they first went to him at the start of the broadcast and he was just looking down the barrel of the camera. Greeny was terrible. But the in commentary when he was at the ring during the fights was all right. It was pretty good.
Yeah, no, he did well, mate. So who knows what's going to happen with Dave now?
Yeah, I mean,
it's exciting. Going to be hard to go back to Hellenic.
Exciting stuff for him.
He's gone back to Hellenic.
So I heard.
They're talking Australian Championship fighting in about 8 weeks.
That's what he.
That's what he wanted. He said that to us on the show. Yeah,
I'd be interested to see if the 1 and 2 ranked guys in Australia are going to want to fight him now.
Yeah,
because it's the title's open at the moment.
Yes.
So it's a vacated title. So 1 or 2 is going to have to face him to get that.
Well, from what I've heard from Dave's dad, Dan, is that if number 1 doesn't want to fight, number 2 doesn't want to fight, they'll go down the list. And so
whoever
might end
does
up
want being, to
that'll
fight,
be
gets
even better.
Shot.
Yeah, be even better for him if 1
absolutely.
Or 2
might end up being, an easier fight than we thought. Yeah.
Why Duke's so in the know? Dean, Dave's dad, is the striking coach at Hills where
and he was actually my first boxing coach.
Yeah,
he cornered me for, you know, 3. He tells me I'm not allowed to say he was my boxing coach because my boxing was that bad. But he was my boxing coach.
I do want to bring that up later in the show because I saw you fight a few years ago and it was a fantastic fight. But, you know, your ground game was amazing, but your stand-up game wasn't as strong. But that's where I want to talk to the two of you, especially with Ben's MMA coming up. You know, you've taught Ben how to grapple. Ben's taught you how to punch. And I just think it's an amazing story that the two of you at some point just clicked and went, hang on. We're mates.
Let's do
why don't we help each other? Because we both, you know, my strength is your weakness and vice versa.
Yeah, I think it was just good timing for both of us as we spoke about the training the other day, but we'll get into it later.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So, nice one. So, for Dave, just fantastic. Like when he was sitting here with us 2 weeks ago, you could just tell he was ready to
go. He's the ice man.
Yeah, he was just...
He's ice cold.
Yeah, no, he was
he played opposite to Duke. Duke screamed at himself how awesome he is before he went in. True story. You know it's true, man. I was there.
Whacked the headphones in, said, I feel great.
I'll be the best shape of my life. I feel great. Hey, look at me.
Whatever you got to do, to pump yourself up.
I'm pretty sure I heard that.
whack on a bit of rock and roll. Pump yourself up. Go ahead and grab your belt.
Nice. All right. Well, to Dave, sensational stuff. And then I guess on to the big one, Benny.
Yeah, man. The Pac-Man and Jeff Horn. Obviously, controversy aside, it was a bloody awesome fight.
Yeah.
Now, mate, Horn actually fought a very, very smart fight. Being the taller man, there's always rules. If you're the shorter guy fighting the taller guy, you got to back the taller guy up and you got to go to the body. But every time Manny went to the body, Horn would lock him up, lean on his neck and just tie his hands up so he couldn't punch and force the referee to break it up.
Yeah.
Which all the old boxing
that's
heads-
smart that's smart boxing.
The first thing they tell me to do, if you're fighting a shorter guy, he gets on the inside, you do not exchange with the shorter guy
because
his arms are shorter and if you go toe-to-toe, he's probably going to beat you to the punch.
Yeah.
So very, very smart fight. A lot of the rounds were very close and could have gone either way. But there were no knockdowns. The only round that could have been a 10-8 was round
nine.
When Manny had Jeff Horn. He was buckled. He was on Queer Street pretty bad. But if you look at the replay, the initial headbutt, accidental headbutt, completely accidental, Jeff Horn short-circuited for a split second there.
I reckon
that was the catalyst for him getting rocked by punches later in the... I'm not sure if it was the round before or early in round nine.
Very early in round nine, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So he took a double whammy.
But, I mean, a lot of those early rounds, they all seem to be going... You know, they were tight, but looking at the judges, they've given them all to Jeff Horn.
I thought the first four or five rounds were his. Like,
absolutely.
The first four especially.
I don't think Manny looked that focused in the first couple of rounds. I thought this was going to be a lot easier than what it was.
It's just the 100%. Same guy that was looking at his phone in the press conference sending text messages back to the Senate in the Philippines.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought that was the height of ignorance, to be honest.
Well, what's interesting is I saw that Freddie Roach and Bob Arum, they have both come out and said, no, Horn won that fight fair and square. So
Freddie was cool. You know, I saw that.
Even though all of America have got their arms up, they've come out, his coach and his promoter, the people that have the biggest interest in him, they've both come and said, no, Horn won that fair and square.
We
want him to have a rematch. Then
sets himself up for a rematch in November, doesn't it?
They said he's got to stop being either a senator or a professional boxer.
Yeah, Freddie said that. Yeah,
he's juggling.
He'll become the prime minister of the president of the Philippines. No doubt in the next few years he'll become president.
Yeah, Duterte is going to be hard to knock off.
Well, we know how he'll get knocked off, don't we?
Same way he's knocking off all the drug dealers and anyone within 100 metres of a drug dealer.
That's pretty much right. Yeah.
But on that note, with the bad decision, I think a lot of things like that. People just repeat what they hear. Like Teddy Atlas had a bit of a meltdown, but Teddy's a very, I love Teddy, and he's a boxing genius, but he's a bit crazy.
Well, let's have a little listen to Teddy Atlas here post fight, and excuse the quality of the audio. This is just off a TV, so let's have a little listen to this.
Listen, congratulations, great outfit. I thought you lost, but great outfit. I thought this guy was landing the punches. You were throwing a lot that were missing, but you showed great heart. The heart of a champion, no doubt about that. The character of a champion. But let me ask you, you fought an honest fight. So I'm going to take for granted you're an honest guy. And I'm going to ask you, did you feel after that ninth round, a very difficult round, after that round where it was almost stopped, I mean, you heard the words of the ref. He said, I'm going to stop this fight if you don't do something. And your own corner told you that. Did you really think that you were winning that fight?
Winning the fight at that stage, yes. I thought I was outpointing him. I thought I was coming forward more and landing the cleaner blows. That's just my opinion. I respect your opinion too, of course, Teddy.
It takes big balls for a commentator to back himself in front of the fighter who's sitting there covered in sweat and blood to say that.
Well, Teddy's known for having big balls. He put a gun to a 19-year-old Mike Tyson's head when he touched his niece on the ass. Teddy doesn't Teddy is an actual, he's a legitimate tough dude. But I reckon a lot of people just hear that and then they just repeat it without even knowing what they're talking about. Yeah. A prime example of that is Stephen A. Smith. He's on, is he First Take? Is that
So it's mostly basketball and baseball.
Yeah,
and
him
stuff,
and Max Kellerman go back and forth every day. I think he's just one of those guys who has to have an opinion on something, even if he doesn't know what he's talking about.
As a sports presenter, that's what you get paid
kind of like Duke. Doesn't get paid. but on Stephen A. Smith, he had no idea who Horn was before the fight. He said, oh, no, he's fought no names.
Which is not true.
That's not true at all. No. Horn's last two fights was Randall Bailey, who was a world champion 5 years ago, and the guy from Africa, Ali, fought for a world title twice.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not in their prime. They're not A-class guys, but they're sure as hell not no names. Here's Jeff Horn straight after the fight.
Yeah, I just felt like he couldn't get a hold of my gap, and I was fainting a lot, trying to upset his rhythm, and I think that was working throughout majority of that fight.
Hi, Jeff. How are you? You didn't seem at all overawed by the occasion. Just how did you mentally deal with such a huge crowd?
Look, I feel like I perform like much better in front of a crowded. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm just wired that way. If no one's there, I usually just don't try very hard. But the more people you have in the ring, even if I'm just sparring and it's not competitive, I still perform a lot better. I usually have a really bad last spar, but I had about the whole gym was packed on the day and I had a real good last spar. So it's just going to be 10 times better when I have 50,000 people there cheering me on.
So as Duke and I just said, even Freddie Roach was pretty cool with it. Yeah. And what a class act Jeff Horn's been.
Oh, 100%.
Take notes, Duke.
Oh, look, there's two types of guys. You got your Dave Toussaint and you got your Duke of Cameras.
Ain't that the truth, man? And everyone on social media has been posting the punch stats saying, oh, what a rip-off, this and that.
But it's not
punch
scored stats, like that, is it?
They do, and even if they were, they don't necessarily tell the story of the fight. Mm. A lot of the old expression was Pacquiao was shoe-shining Jeff Horn, where he's just landing a lot of shots, but they're doing no damage. Mm. Jeff Horn did the more damaging shots.
Yeah, and I think Danny Green, he actually said it really well, which will annoy Ben. he said he had to go in there and be a pig. Horn had to go there and just absolutely make a dogfight out of it.
And he did.
And he did.
Absolutely.
And it's paid off for him.
He's absolutely. Well, that's what I've always said when I spar with Dave. I cannot box with the guy. I'm hitting there. I got to make it dirty.
Yeah.
I got to hang on to him, use my weight, use my size, which is exactly what Jeff Horn did to Pacquiao.
Yeah.
So, obviously, you know, the world we live in isn't necessarily a pretty one all the time, especially in the world of social media.
Oh, yeah.
The backlash Jeff and his pregnant wife with their first child has been
pretty
getting
rough.
On social media is unbelievable. Yeah. Jeff just being a class act all the way. I don't think he's going to be too concerned. I don't think he is.
Jeff worded it really well. He said, look, I might have lost a few fans over there, but I bet you I've gained a lot more.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right.
He's a class act, mate.
He wake up with his belt and his $1 million, I think he'll get over a little bit of negativity.
And it pays house off and he's now...
And the next fight, it's going to be a lot more.
The next fight's going to be $2 million, especially if they go back to Suncorp again. And the Brisbane government said this, or the Queensland government said this was an outstanding success.
Yeah, it's funny. Social media Americans couldn't handle the white plastic Bunnings chairs. They're like, why are all the chairs in the stadium from Home Depot? They lost their mind over the plastic.
And how much
chairs
were those seats?
Well, that's the thing I said. I mean, imagine paying a grand for ringside sitting on a Bunnings chair.
Mate, you know, I probably wouldn't mind the Bunnings chair because one of Duke and I's training partners, Jimmy O'Brien, he was in the nosebleeds. It looked like he paid about $10 for his seat because he wouldn't need a binoculars. He was just looking at two little ants running around.
Well, you need binoculars to look at the big screens.
We saw it on Snapchat. And we went, oh, geez. Dave Toussaint has not hooked you up with good seats.
Oh, dear.
But to Juco's credit, they've run an awesome event. We've been absolutely run through, like, the last few events of boxing's run in Australia, they've been horrible. You know, that all those mundane fights, they've just been such chop shop.
It's a circus.
That's an event.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And they've run it so well.
Yeah.
That was a win for boxing.
And as you said, you're a fan of the ring girls they brought in, Duke.
Mate, just had some primo girls out there, didn't they? Normally they get them straight out of Dapto.
Dapto crack horse.
Pay him $50.
I think I've been to shows where they've been worse, man. So, as we just said, mate, Horn, he made a meal and they reckon it's going to be $2 million plus for the next one. So
plus he's going to...
No more mortgage. Sponsors. He said he was going to upgrade the Camry.
Yeah, nice. And sponsors will come on board too. So he'll get corporate sponsors because he's a well-spoken fella.
Absolutely. Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Not too sure about his trainer though. Geez, his trainer looks like he came out of Dapto.
I was about to say, he's come from the Dapto RSL.
Yeah, he does. He looks like it, doesn't he?
Yeah. He has had a hard life. Time has not been kind to that man, has it?
And he's looks like he smokes a pack a day. moving on, UFC 213. The chicks are the main event. We'll start with them. The UFC bantamweight title is up for grabs. It's a rematch from March last year between Russian Valentin Shevchenko versus the chick that dethroned Ronda Rousey, Amanda Nunes. Now, this Shevchenko chick, she debuted fighting at 12 years old, fought a 22-year-old chick, and knocked her out.
Europeans are awesome.
She's a full nomad too. She does a different training camp in a different city every time.
She just
travels all over the place.
Yep.
She's from Kyrgyzstan. So in the original fight, which was not that long ago, but kind of a lot's happened in the landscape since then. Nunes dominated the first two rounds, but Shevchenko was coming on in the third and won the third round. Now, this being a championship fight, it's a 5-rounder. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Amanda Nunes is going to go.
There's been a lot of question marks about Nunes' gas tank and whether she just comes out firing for those three rounds. So it'd be interesting to see her in the championship rounds. And not only that, Nunes isn't that.
She's got a good punch on her, though.
She's not likable. But she's not very likable. No. And she's not that arrogant. She just seems like. I mean, when she beat Ronda Rousey, she was immediately posting on the internet.
Yeah.
Like social. Like she was bullying it on the internet. Absolutely. Okay, you just beat her in 40 seconds. I think the last thing you need to do is be posting Photoshop photos.
Chael said, you don't kick someone when they're down.
No.
Time you shake their hand, you know?
But exactly.
But the girls aren't like the guys. They sometimes don't shake hands after the fight.
Yeah, no, she rubbed it in massively.
Yeah.
And well, since then, Shevchenko's coming off two massive wins, including one performance of the night bonus for a really good submission over Juliana Pena.
Yep.
She's a primo fighter.
Beast.
Just got engaged. I'll smash him. So her confidence is running high. I will be watching. And in the semi-main event, the UFC interim middleweight title, here's just a little bit of background around the fight.
Since June 2016, the UFC middleweight division has been anything but predictable.
Oh, he got rocked!
He hurt him bad.
First, Michael Bisping shocked the world by knocking out champion Luke Rockhold and capturing the 185-pound title.
Michael Bisping is the champion!
He then defended his belt against longtime rival Dan Henderson.
And still!
And followed that up by booking a super fight against the returning legend George St. Pierre.
I'm a better version than I was when I used to compete.
The sport is a different place. Game over.
But GSP's return would not come as quickly as anticipated.
George St. Pierre is saying he will not be ready to compete now until November. Who knows if that's even the case? We're not waiting for George St. Pierre anymore. We're moving on with the division.
But a knee injury and recent surgery has prevented Bisping from taking on the next challenger. And his timetable for return is questionable. So amidst the chaos, top middleweights have battled it out for a shot at the interim belt. A worthy opponent to face him is the latest addition to the top five, who can be found across the globe. The land down under is home to a New Zealand-born martial artist whose odyssey began as a young child, soon after he relocated to Australia.
So the 26-year-old New Zealand-born Aussie Robert Whittaker.
Bobby Knuckles.
Bobby, a.k.a. Bobby Knuckles, a.k.a. the Reaper.
This is the people's main event, this one here.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a good fight.
This is what we're tuning in for.
He's just on an upward curve, isn't he, Whittaker?
Since he stopped cutting weight.
Yeah.
He just used to diet to make... Well, he's gone up to middleweight, so obviously he was working welterweight before.
Welterweight was killing him.
So, mate, he's just been a new person.
The guy, well, when Ben and I were down in Melbourne training, we actually got to train with Whittaker. I tell you now, he's not, he's a heavy guy. Yeah. He'd be well over 90 kilos. You know, he's a big cut. So I don't know how he was fighting welterweight.
Yeah.
He's an absolute beast. Like, he's so dynamic, and I think that extra weight's done him the world of good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Romero is a beast, though.
He's a beast.
He's a scary man.
He is.
I love you. I love Jesus, and I kill you. Yeah. Yeah. No,
don't forget Jesus. You must have forgot.
There's a video on the internet of him just in his Speedos and gloves screaming through the cage, I'm here, it's giving me nightmares.
He's a crazy dude.
How does that man make middleweight?
40 years old, got silver at the 2000 Olympics, and he is jacked. He looks like a superhero. He's unbelievable. Obviously, wrestling powerhouse, and he's on an 8-fight win streak. He's only lost one out of all of his 14 fights, and 12 of those 14 fights have been stoppages.
Yeah, right.
So this dude,
and he likes the flying knee too, doesn't he?
He's got two stoppages from a flying knee, and everything else is a TKO.
But you know, I'll put it out there. I'm backing Whittaker for this one. Yep. I think he's honestly got the power in his hands, the unorthodox karate style of striking, and his ground game's accessible. So I think if he can stop that takedown, it's going to be a win for Whittaker. And also, Yoel Romero, he's not always winning his fights. You know, he pulls it out like against Wyman.
Because he's so explosive.
He's so explosive, and he can just push that pace. But this is a championship fight. I'm going to be interested to see how he's in the fourth,
the gas tank.
In the fifth round.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know for a fact Whittaker will be able to go that far.
Yeah.
So, and we saw with Jacare, the guy can punch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's trained with, as we spoke about before, Stuart McKinnon up at Castle Hill. He did my striking game wonders.
Yep.
I'm trying to pass some of that on to Juki. He's coming along quite well.
Nice.
But how many rounds did you do with Whittaker when we were in Melbourne?
Oh, I did a couple of grappling rounds with him,
I saw Duke was grappling. Then I had to spar with this 120-kilo Tongan when he punched me in. I reckon those two rounds.
One of Mark Hunt's training partners.
Yeah, right. He is a gun. Jay, I can't even say his surname, but he's a legend.
He's a legend. He picks on me, but it's all right. He's 120 kilo. But,
he can do what he wants.
He's an absolute beast of a boxer, but he's also got a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
So, legit.
So
he submitted me with grip strength.
There's that many hidden gems in these gyms all around the country. You know, that's why we do the drive. You go down there and you put the good training partners together.
That's why you do the drive and I sleep in the paddock.
How did you go on the mat against Whitaker?
Oh, look, my grappling was okay. Grappling was fine. But I wouldn't want to be standing. I didn't get to do the striking with him. Yeah. Thank goodness. But my grappling's all right. I'm a bit heavier as well.
Yeah.
But the first time I was sort of a little bit like, oh, it's Robert Whittaker.
Yeah.
But then the second time I sort of got my groove in there.
As Duke and I were speaking about at training the other day, when you train with all these dudes, you find they're just guys, man. They're the same as us, same mate. Yeah. It's not me when I was with Toro and Spong in where was I? Holland. Yeah, he landed a few on me. But two rounds, well, it's a championship fight. I reckon Whittaker's going to come on strong in the last two rounds. Yeah, nice. Mainly thanks to Duke Didier.
Okay. All right, we'll see how we go.
And Duke said he's not bad at grappling. He's the best guy in Australia. Under 100 kilos?
Under 100 kilos. Who's that, me?
Yeah.
Oh, look, I just do my bit.
Yeah.
I just...
You put a microphone in front of him, he comes Captain Humble. Let's get on there.
Give him a beer, man.
Turn the mic off, I'll tell you what I really think.
The podcast you are listening to is all true.
Proving once again that the truth is not pretty. Just like its hosts.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast and we wouldn't be here without the crew from the butcher shop. Ian, Sess, the whole team looking after Canberrans with the best meat available, Benny.
It is the best meat available. And they've got a new chicken thing, man, which I'm having for dinner tomorrow night.
I found out last week when you said, oh, they had these new chicken things.
This is a newer chicken thing.
Oh.
Yeah, it's bigger.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it the mini roast?
Is there prosciutto on it?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's probably a chicken.
What's that called?
Chicken queen, I think, is the one you're thinking of.
Yes.
So there you go.
I got them and a whole bunch of lamb.
Nice, very nice.
It's going to be great.
Duke's taking bloody pictures. He's taking Snapchat
selfies.
Videos.
He's
Look
taking
at him
selfies,
go.
Man. He's taking selfies.
There we
selfies.
Go. He's all over it. But the butcher shop, Dixon and Kayleen, is where you want to go if you do want to try Canberra's best meat. Their bacon is made on the premises from 100% Aussie pork.
It's a miracle.
It is.
It's
really
not Canadian.
Is. No, they do like use. Everywhere else. I'm pretty sure there might be some Canadian wood chips in the smoker. I think. That was a couple of years ago. Maybe they've changed
That's
their recipe.
That's creepy
I'm not
that
sure.
You know that.
Well, you know, I had a fair bit to do with the butcher shop back in the day, mate. I was in there every week and Ian used to go, oh, this is what we do to make this and this is why this tastes awesome. So it's what it's all about.
I think some of the boys are coming to the fight too. They're asking me about tickets.
Yeah, nice.
Hook them up, Benny. Don't be tight ass.
Well, I bought a table.
We can delete that.
You bought the tickets tonight, table 5. That better be a good table, Benny. If I'm behind a big pole, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Mate, if I survive fighting 135 kilo Samoan, you can take it out.
The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Kayleen is open 7 days. Dixon is open 6. Go in there and get it down your neck.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom.
In front of one very disinterested diamond python.
And occasionally, a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
Oh, that's not Alan. Steve.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
It's time for another one of Scotty's top fives. He peaked 2 weeks ago. Last week wasn't too good.
Oh, really?
What's going on tonight?
I think it was just because...
I like the Korean one. I like the Korean one. That was funny. The North Korean one. I love anything North Korean. I laugh.
There you go. So I've got one fan. He's saying that while he's sitting 3 feet from me.
Fish porn is heaps better than North Korean, man.
Okay. This one's about rugby league. Well, a rugby league video game that's just come out. So they've been making this game for a few years. Rugby League Live, it's called. They're up to version 4. And I've had a look at it as it's hit the shelves. And the creators have been vigilant in including all the 2016-2017 rule changes, all the updates to the rosters.
No shoulder charges?
No.
Not even on the game?
No, not even on the game.
There should be like a send-off option.
It should be.
I'm happy to do this, but I'll get sent off.
I'm going
to
get in trouble, but let me do it.
Yeah.
Someone will come up with a crack for it that you can do that.
There has to be, like head highs.
But you can go right through the ranks as start as an under-20s player and work your way up into first grade. And to capitalise on the next-gen capabilities of all the current gaming machines, there's a super slow-mo replay system.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
If you do something awesome, you can have a look at it. Dynamic weather, so the weather can change halfway through a game, which is cool.
Is there a scandal mode?
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting to. So let's have a look at it. I've had a good look at the game, and you can drag players over the sidelines.
Is there a bonding mode?
Monday, oh, where you go horse Monday riding
and get some dogs.
Yeah, where you go horse. No, oh, God, you had to go there, didn't you? Joel Monahan's a good boy.
Yeah, I made him.
Mate, it was just. I was on his hand. It was peanut butter.
We're tight, man.
He's a good
peanut
bloke.
Butter. Anyway, it's time for this.
And now,
it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
It is the top five new features in the Rugby League 4 video game, all right? These are the hidden ones that I've found, all right? Coming in at number 5, you can play as a touch judge or a ref. Pressing the X and the A button will make you send a clear try decision upstairs to the video ref so KFC gets more TV airtime, thus increasing the NRL sponsor renewal rates tenfold.
There would be a minimum, wouldn't there?
There'd have to be.
Minimum of airtime. You'd know more about that than us.
It'd have to be,
Duke's
mate.
Duke's a marketing nerd.
No, it's true. Whenever you sell a prop to someone, you go, you're going to get X, Y, and Z for your dollar. Yeah. So I guarantee you, at the start of the season, the NRL didn't go to KFC. Oh, we might never go to the bunker.
Yeah.
So they're promised. I can guarantee you they're promised.
It'd be interesting going to see on. The stats there, like what the minimum is ever done.
Yeah, it would be very, very interesting. But it seems refs just send it up there anyway.
That was just very informative. I didn't find that funny, but that was very... Okay, well, I'm happy I know that.
Thank you. Number 4. You can play as any club in the game. In the Melbourne Storm level, you can unlock the salary cap breach achievement, the free boat from Harvey Norman, and two sets of books for the accountants.
Well, you just have like 7 Jonathan Thurstons in your back line.
Well, that'd be if you're like the Cowboys, of course.
The old John Loma rugby game, you get a team of John Lomas from prop to winger.
Number 3 in the top 5 new features in the Rugby League 4 video game. New manager level, where it's your job to take an underperforming Newcastle winger and get him a $500,000 a year at Manly and watch him play better than he ever did at the Knights. I'm looking at you, Aku Uarte. Jeez, he's on fire at Manly.
Is anyone else? What do you think that is, mate? He just wasn't happy there?
Mate, Newcastle. Matt Gidley needs the arse.
What were they paying him at Newcastle?
A lot. He was one of our marquees. He was on $600,000. But Newcastle's still paying him this year.
Yeah.
We're actually still paying him.
I remember
at one time, management.
I remember one time Todd Payton was getting paid by 3 different clubs.
Yeah, probably.
At one time.
Yeah, that's the way it works. Number 2, the video game has Origin. Pressing left bumper, right bumper, Y and A comes up with 3 viable excuses for New South Wales fans on why we lost again. I like the Greg Inglis was born in New South Wales option. That never gets old. It's true. If we had him play for us.
Do you have hope for game 3?
I do. I actually do.
Yeah. You had hope for game 2, man.
Yeah, I did. But no, you've got
Thurston's out, we're in.
Yeah, and they picked Ben Hunt. They left Daly Cherry Evans in Manly because he upset a few people for backflipping on the
Titans.
He's
not a team player.
Nah, well, that's what Cameron Smith would have you believe. Don't you pick the best people in the best positions?
Geez, I hope Woods is out. And then there's a trip up. Paul Vaughan, he's in. Yeah. I'm going.
Yeah, mate. But Vaughan's out with his hammy.
No, it's his calf. And he's saying he's been in recovery mode. He might be back for the Canberra game, that'd be good.
Paul's Duke's BFF.
Yeah. Oh, I like Vaughan too. He's a good dude. And I wish he had a
You know who doesn't like Duke?
Ricky Stewart.
And Vaughan's missus.
No, I'm back in the good books.
All right, number 1 in the top 5 new features in the Rugby League Video 4 game. There it is. Great news. English Super League is featured. Many new players, soon to be Salford halfback Todd Carney, because when he performs the bubbler in a trendy Soho nightclub, it's exotic. It's not creepy and wrong like when he did it at Cronulla Leagues Club.
How can you joke about that and I can't bring up Monaghan?
Because he's our mate.
Yeah. He's not my mate.
Clearly.
Monaghan had a bit of peanut butter on his head.
You got to own
Todd
that.
Carney pissed in his own chair.
I tell you what,
I am going to defend having a bit of fun on the piss to the death. I will not have people made fun of for a slip up on the piss. It happens.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the crew at the Butcher Shop. We're missing Stevie P this week. He's off on a chlamydia trek somewhere around Asia, isn't he, Benny? Is that what he's doing again?
Oh, wherever he will be.
Finding a cure?
There will be STD.
No, he's so good.
You have to. Every time he's not here, we've got to do it.
A suit, that's not a contraceptive, is it? Like,
especially when he takes it off all the time.
So we got Duke Didier to come in. What is it? Canberra's 4th favourite fighting son? Canberra's
favourite fighting son.
We've both agreed to give Dave the crown.
Yeah, I think it's 2 and 3. I think it's 2 and 3 over here. And if Ben flatlines this bloke, I think I'm pushed down to 3.
So, I mean, obviously you two have known each other for a long time and there is that ongoing thing between you two on social media. Duke, when you won Brace, you went and now Canberra's number 1 fighting son. And Benny, you hadn't been in the ring for a while. So
that
was a legitimate, claim.
He's the winner by default.
Right.
And when we met, he actually looked like, it was a straight out of a boy band.
Duke.
At the taxi
I've seen rank. Some of the photos.
Yeah, that was when I met him. Yeah. And he's wondering why I didn't want to talk to him.
when I was about 19, I reckon, 18, 19. In my
so family. A little bit more of a pest than you are
well,
now.
Much bigger, banned from Mooseheads, banned from everywhere pest. That's why I was in the taxi
he
rank.
He was just obviously. An experience.
So my mate, there's Ben Edwards, and Ben was the big man on campus.
Yeah.
And obviously someone that I was looked up to as a guy that wanted to fight. And so my mates go, go talk to him. Oh,
I saw him talking about it. I was avoiding eye contact.
So I go over, g'day, my name's Duke, I want to fight. And he goes, looks over at his mate, I think it was Mickey Duros, looks over at his mate and goes, it's always the blokes, never the chicks.
I mean, for you though, mate, I mean, your dad, Jeff, obviously pretty famous in Canberra circles and rugby and stuff. So you grew up around sport. When was it you decided, I mean, I know I've heard Ben's stories when he saw those, you know, kickboxing movies as a young bloke and things like that, that sort of switched him onto it. When did you decide you wanted to have a crack?
So my transition was, I was a rugby guy, just like, obviously, dad. I grew up on a scrum machine, you know, in Brumbies, going to Brumbies trainings, going to Royals trainings, going to Canberra Kookaburras trainings.
Yep.
But then I got told by one of the old strappers from a rugby team, it'll help your rugby, go and do judo. And I went to Marist College and they had a judo club there.
Yep.
So I went along. You do when you're 9 years old, you do what you're told. You do every sport though. You mean you do tennis, cricket, whatever.
Yep.
And mate, I always loved the rock and roll wrestling. I love the WWE.
Yeah.
And I wrestled, no joke, I wrestled my dad probably every day till I was about 15.
Yeah.
And honestly, like so I go to judo training and it was just wrestling. It was awesome. So I did judo and rugby union all the way through Marist. You wouldn't dare not play rugby and try and have a social life.
Yeah.
So I went through to 18, but then I was about 20, and I started turning down when I was 18. I turned down a rep team for rugby to keep doing my judo. I saw a pathway there.
Yep.
And then at about 20, I said no more rugby. I've got to take this serious.
Yep.
And then, mate, judo just doesn't have enough attention for me. You only get to
compete every couple of years, don't you?
Yeah. You know, Com Games is good, but that's once. So basically, I started watching the MMA, and there's a few other judo guys that made the transition over.
Yep.
Oh, and there's the lights and the music and just look.
Groupies.
I'll compare it. I won the Australian Judo Championships when I was 21.
Yep.
And dad, good work, mate. A couple of blokes, good work. That same year, I beat an absolute retard in the cage for my debut. And dad was crying. My mates were everywhere. And the papers and everything.
Was that the one at the convention centre?
It was one of the ones at the convention centre.
I saw that.
Dude, was look, you know, I wouldn't badmouth him, but I've seen him badmouth me on the internet. So he's like, so suck eggs. He had absolutely no business being anywhere near the cage with me. How dare you? Step foot in a cage with an Australian. I've been grappling for 15 years at that stage. What have you done? A couple of karate classes? No. And it was that day after that 40-second I chucked him out cold.
Yeah.
And after that, I went, this is where we're going. I juggled the judo and the MMA for a little bit, but after missing the Rio, I was gonna retire after Commonwealth.
Yep.
I said, I was pretty close to a medal. I reckon I can beat the guy. We got real close to Rio, but there was always going to be closed door. Made it or didn't make it, we closed the door, and now it's just MMA.
Yep.
And that was,
Now, as I said earlier in the show, I think this is the fight I saw at the convention centre. Was that on one of your fights, Ben? Yeah. I think I was there with a bunch of listeners from the radio station, and you walked into a few punches, and I think you sort of suplexed this guy into the mat and just destroyed him on the ground.
Yeah, well.
So obviously punching.
Was it the fight when he came out to Bon Jovi?
Isn't that every fight for Duke?
Good luck charm, boys.
But, I mean, that's obviously back then, given your history, as you've just explained to us, your stand-up game, your punching game wasn't the best. So, and Ben's now going, I want to go into MMA after being, you know, obviously a well-known striker in kickboxing and boxing.
Match made.
When did the penny drop for you too? Because like you were doing stuff with Dennis Roberts, Benny, and then he went overseas.
Only a little bit.
Of that sort of stuff. So when did the penny drop for you two, and where you both went, hang on, we can do this?
Well, it was just a matter of timing, really, because I was still, had a few kickboxing fights and boxing fights here and there, but I wasn't really there. I didn't really want to do it. I wanted to have a break, and Duke was sort of finishing up with judo in the same calendar year.
Yep.
And we just, you know, just touch base pretty much after Rio.
As I said, we're mates anyway. Because we're mates anyway, and it did just work out. And we've with coaching and training relationship, it has to just work. It's not about – it doesn't always necessarily mean the best – or the, it just has to work.
Yeah.
And then after the first session, I feel like both ways, it just clicked.
Yeah.
And now it's a pretty cool dynamic because we coach each other, we're each other's training partners, and we're mates. So it's – and if anything, this has brought us so much closer together. I mean, like, yeah. he's like
yeah,
family now.
Absolutely.
And that's how it is. He's like my brother, you know.
Yeah.
I spend more time with him than I do with my family, you know. Yeah. And it's, you know, testing the times.
A lot closer, especially when you're teabagging me.
Now, I was gigging the night you fought for the brace strap where you won the light heavyweight title, and I was texting Ben going, how'd you go? And the text back from Ben was something along the lines of, mate, he was awesome. It went the distance. He did everything he was told.
And cut a promo.
It was perfect. So, you know, Ben, when you were starting to train Duke, obviously, you know, you had to work on his striking. How far into that process did you go, no, he's going to be okay here, or were you still worried up to Duke's fight for brace?
No. There's anything can happen. We're both big dudes fighting in little gloves, mate. Yep. Things happen, but the thing that impressed me most about Duke is his work ethic. He didn't miss one session in 4 months.
Yeah.
4 months of training. Lost, 12 kilos, and you weren't fat to begin with. His work ethic second.
Has some of that rubbed off onto you?
And I knew, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I knew, you can tell he's an athlete. He knows how to learn on the job. He knows how to take constructive criticism. Same as me. Yep. I listen to what he says. He listens to what I say.
And
as he said, it's just chemistry. We work, we respect each other.
Yeah. And because we've been at this such a long time. We've both been at it in our own fields such a long time. We know how to develop.
Yeah.
And that's a difference is when we may be beginners at the sport.
Yeah.
But we know how to listen and we know how to develop. And we also, because we don't coach many other people, it's a lot of energy to put into one person and you develop so much faster.
Yeah.
And you can just see it with both of our MMA right now.
Yeah,
I guarantee you, I'm really looking forward to
That's what I was going to say. So on the shoe on the other foot, Duke, you've been training with Ben now. You've seen, obviously, Ben's ground game was not non-existent because there was the Combat 8 thing and you'd done
it was non-existent.
Okay. I was trying to be nice. But are you quite comfortable that if Brendan Cassoli does take this to the ground that Ben will give a good showing?
I'm extremely comfortable now. If you could do a snapshot of when we started, and then it was 8 weeks ago, and then now, it's just the improvements. It's gone straight up. I mean, he's out of sight right now. We get grapplers in.
Yep.
And at the start of this whole process, Ben was getting taken down, and it was obviously very frustrating as it is. You know, going from the top of something to the bottom of something sucks.
Yep.
But we've gone in, and now last week, I've had wrestlers going, I can't take him down. These are wrestlers. They're going, I can't take him down. And that's, mate, I'm so proud of just, and that's the other thing is the work ethic, you know?
Yep.
Is because we understand each other and we understand, you know, because we're training with each other as well. If you need to have time off, if we're both tired, I'll know when he's tired, you know?
Yeah.
And there's none of this, you know, bullying each other into. We're both doing it. We're both on this mission together. We've both got the same goal.
Yeah.
It's a pretty special thing what's going on here, and it's good for Canberra because we're building a base here that's going to grow. I guarantee you. And if you, I'll put the word out. If you can fight and you want to kick and you are heavyweight, come to train with us. Please send me a message.
We need big body. That's why we're so lucky because obviously very different personalities. I'm a great bloke, but on top, but on top of that, our skill sets are completely different. So everyone compares us to DC and Cormier. Well, I'm pretty sure it's only me, but we're even better than them because they got the same skill set. We've got the completely opposite.
Yeah.
And the same as Duke says about my grappling. Every spar we have in boxing, he's starting to land a few shots now because my tricks aren't working anymore.
Yeah.
His punches are every week they're a few centimetres closer,
Those two head kicks worked the other week, but anyway.
Oh, I kicked him in the head twice in one round. You're welcome, Canberra.
What's next for you, Duke?
On top of that, I was on my ass pretty quick for next round.
So what's next for you, man? You won the brace light heavyweight strap.
Yeah, so that was awesome. That was a big look. I went through a bit of a thing last year, missing the Olympics. It's tough
because you thought you were there.
Yeah, well, mate, I thought I was there. Yeah. I was to be qualified for the Olympics. We thought if I win the Oceania Championships, that'll give me enough points to put me in top 22 in the world.
Yeah,
I ended up there was a competition overseas, and there was a freak result.
Durkistan.
Yeah, well, it was in. I went to Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan to try and chase these points.
Yeah.
I ended up at 24 in the world.
Right,
and it was that close, and it came down to the last fight.
And it was, yeah. And even that fight, I was winning and it came off at the end. And yeah, look, heartbreaking to end my career in Kazakhstan when I just won the Oceania title in Canberra and I thought I was going.
Yep.
And, you know, it was reported that I was going.
Yeah.
So it was a lot to deal with. And then to come back and, you know, put the pressure on myself again with a brace fight, I wasn't sure whether we were ready because this guy was the legit Australian champion.
It's a tough fight, man. Yeah. He's top two in the country, no doubt.
Yeah.
So but the other thing was my coach Daniel and Benny said, well, yeah, you can beat him. So we went in there and then we did that, and that's huge for me. That was just a big, just get me back to being Duke again, you know? Because for a little while there, yeah, I sort of lost my smile a bit, and now it's good. So my plan now is that we're in talks about maybe in September we'll fight, maybe not in Canberra.
Yep.
We'll fight maybe. I can't announce anything yet because it's not confirmed. Okay. But
who?
Look,
where?
Will that be for brace?
No, it won't be, I'm open to fighting. I don't have to fight anywhere.
Okay.
But there's other promotions. He's a free agent. There's one down in Melbourne called Hex that's just a production value. It's live on Fox Sports.
Steve Payos talks about them all the time.
It's
awesome.
And that's what it's looking like. That's what I'd like to be on because that's the premier show in Australia right now.
Yep.
There's lots of ring girls, there's lots of smoke,
primo.
There's music.
Attention.
Live
on TV.
Just give me the attention on this. So that's in September. And look, right now, I didn't take any time off. I went straight from my fight to getting
ready. He was training.
I remember
me 3 days later.
3 days later, yeah. I remember with the black eye.
No, he had no soul.
Yeah.
But he was there.
I'm not going to lie. There have been a few sessions when I've come in for Ben with no sleep.
Showed the fuck up, man, every time.
Yeah, and I think that's what's important thing is that we are a team. So Ben never let me down. I'm not going to let him down.
Nice.
And it's all gonna show off for Ben in 2 weeks. And then when I hit the ground running, same thing's going to work for September. And then it goes back to Ben. We've got our little heavyweight scrap pack going on here, and it's pretty special.
Nice work. Well, as a fight fan and an honorary Canberran who's been to plenty of fights, I've seen both of you boys fight several times now, or a lot of times. Really looking forward to Benny taking it to the cage and hopefully into Hex, mate, and some national recognition for you and some more appearances on the project, eh?
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
But I think... As Duke was saying, man, we're just – because usually after a fight, Duke gets skinny fat, I get fat,
yep.
And we're not in the gym, and, we've got to fight in 10 weeks. That's okay, now we'll start training. Now we're staying busy all the time, man.
That's good.
It's the norm. It's all,
we're the best thing for each other.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, we're on the same path, we've got the same goals, and we're genuine mates
What's the saying about champions train for a fight?
Yeah.
What's that one?
Fighters train for a fight, champions train all year round.
Yeah, there you go.
We've gone from fighters to champs.
Very nice.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters,
Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve Payos.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
It is listener question time, and this one from Timmy Cecil on Facebook. You boys can take part of this one. It says, I didn't watch the Horn fight, and I've never been involved in boxing, so my opinion is pretty much nothing like my right hook. But how can boxing lose the perceived bias with the scoring of bouts? Everyone can have their opinion, blah, blah, blah. Surely there's a way to clean up the system, as it seems every major fight there's a questionable scorecard. What are your thoughts on that one, Benny and Duke?
Well, the key word there being opinion. Yeah. See, the rules are written down in black and white, but it's still subjective and it's still someone's opinion.
Yeah.
Some judges like the aggressor, some judges like the counterpuncher, some judges like punches landing, some judges like power shots landing. It's always going to be subjective with boxing, as Dana White says.
Yeah,
if you don't let it go to the judges, man. You have to fight to finish because you never know.
If you finish it, then there's just no questions.
No questions asked. Yeah.
You don't want to leave it in the hands of three guys that might be watching a different fight to everyone else. Yeah. And it's proven time and time again.
Is that what happened with the Horns fight? What was that 117 to 111 scorecard? Like, what fight were they watching?
Well, exactly right. But even with that, you can see some – there's obviously bias. Like, two of the judges were American, so there's a possibility they could be favouring Manny.
Yep.
But you just never know, mate. Judges look for different things, man. When I initially watched it, everyone at Hellenic Club, and there was like 50% of the people there were Filipino.
Yeah.
What noise were they making?
Ah!
Every time Manny land a punch. Oh!
And I started doing it too.
Duke was fanning the flames. But it's always going to be someone's opinion, man.
Yeah.
And even at the Hellenic Club, when I watched it, and there was quite a few people there, Everyone in the crowd's looking at each other, like, who won? It wasn't a robbery by any stretch of the imagination. But anytime it goes to a decision, there's always going to be dramas. There always has been, and there always will be for a million different reasons.
Yeah, just comes down to perception.
Yeah, just knock them the fuck out.
That's the way to do it.
Or rip something off, Juki. Rip it off, man.
All right, what I'm going to do now is get into song two for the podcast this week. And, Benny, this is a band that proves if you stay at Radford for your schooling, you go on to great things.
Yeah,
if you don't go to Melbourne.
You drop out.
What did you do?
Did you go to private school in Newcastle?
Me? No. God, no, mate. I went to Glendale Technology High School. It was a state school, buddy.
The Melbourne High?
Yeah, they're kind of essentially like Melbourne High, man.
Yeah, same.
So these boys.
Yeah, you're a little rich kid, man.
I'm from the mean streets of Marist.
That's where my young bloke goes. He just changed over.
Turning
this year
into a young man.
He's playing soccer for Marist.
Yeah, well.
Judo? Cross training.
We'll put him in judo.
I don't know where we're going.
He'll get a red card pretty quick, but he'll be the toughest guy on the field.
How old is he?
He's 12 this year.
I'll give him back when he's 16. He'll hate you, but he'll be able to fight.
All right, well, let's get stuck into Hands Like Houses. These boys all came out of Radford. Absolutely sensational band. They're on the Vans Warped Tour around America at the moment. They're constantly touring in America. This is their new single. It's called Drift.
Someone who'll say your prayer.
we often do with the uppercut of the week, when we've got a guest in, we let them, Benny, pick the uppercut of the week
or and who they want five. To fire up. Or high five or the on high occasion. Five.
But let's be honest, Duke's a very angry young man. And we decided, what are we doing? The Kimura, the armbar of the week this
armbar
time around?
Armbar of the week.
Yeah. Armbar of the week.
All right, Duke, who's pissing you off and why are they going to put him in an armbar,
just
mate?
Just one.
Oh, look, I'm just going to go with just the keyboard warriors. After these fights, I think I'd like to snap a few arms over this. You see people, no idea about fighting, no idea about how much hard work and effort goes into these things. These people dedicate their whole lives and then they feel like they can get on and give their opinion. I think they should back off and just be happy, you know, just be happy about what they've seen and also be supportive. Be supportive of, you know, just because you're not happy with the result doesn't mean you get on there and say real personal things. Jeff Horn's copped an absolute hiding, for example.
And he's watched.
But I see it every UFC. I see it, you know. Yeah. My coach in Melbourne, Daniel Kelly, you should see how fickle they are. They're just some of the horrible things that get said. If you can fight, maybe you if you could fight, you don't give an opinion like
that. But that's the problem, exactly, Duke. And right. it's not just about fighting. It's in all walks of life.
100%.
I make my living out of social media these days. I pay my mortgage due to Facebook and things like that. But Facebook has given idiots a voice who back in the day never had a voice. And they're the kind of nutbags that used to write to the paper or go down to the pub and get lippy after a few. That's the only way people would listen to them.
It's not
now everyone can have their say.
And I mean, I sort of narrowed that down. The fighting, mate, I see the NRL guys. They're real people, and I mean,
of course.
And you know, rugby union as well, and just all sports, all walks of life. You just should just shut up and do something with your own life before you start commenting just uneducated and horrible things. Mm. And you know what? They've never got a face to their comments. They never put their own face.
Anonymity.
They're looking for reactions and they just live sad, pathetic old lives. So I'm putting you in an armbar.
All right, mate. Take it away. Oh, that's painful. That is painful.
Right there. I've been there.
Oh, dearie me. All right. Well, we'll pay the bills and we'll come back and we'll wrap it up.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
Well, what an episode this has been. Season 2, Episode 4, the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Benny, I think we've got to give your brother from another mother a round of applause. Duke
mate,
Didier.
Great job, mate.
What a great job.
I had very low hopes. Who would have thought someone would outtalk payoffs?
Mate,
very
amazing.
Impressed. You'll have to get you on more often.
Episode 1 of Talking Takedowns has been an absolute success. Thanks very much, my guest, Scotty and Ben Edwards. Tune in next week. We've got Steve Payos on.
No, he's still away on the chlamydia trial. He won't be here.
He's just killing his sex life, eh?
You think the women he picks up listen to this?
Do any women listen to this?
Yeah, your ex-girlfriend. Oh,
You always tell me not to bring her up. Now you bring her up.
I just rolled off the tongue.
Oh, dearie me. Benny, next week we're actually going to bring in the man that's going to be paying your wage.
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to bring in Shane Tipper, of course, who's putting on the big fight.
It's going to be a four-hour podcast, man.
Really?
Mate, every phone call I have with him, it could be a two-minute
conversation. Is it in the ring or is it in a cage?
We don't know yet. It's going to be, every two-minute conversation goes for at least 35.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, well, so it's going to be good.
We'll get
salt
him
in a ring.
Like what we're going to do with Duke
dinner
tonight.
Dinner cage, three exits.
Like what we're going to do
dinner
with Duke
ring
tonight.
With three exits.
We'll get him in. We'll get his segment done. We'll boot him out the door.
All right.
We'll be fine. Sure. But of course, Benny, if people do want to come and see you step inside the cage... slash maybe ring. No, it'll be a cage.
It's a cage with two exits.
I'm sure
it's locked in 90. It's Sex Panther. 100% of the time, we're 50% right.
If people want to come and see, where do they get tickets for the big fight, mate?
Hit up Shane Tipper on my Facebook, in my Facebook
profile. That can be purchased at Monster Sport Nutrition as well.
I was getting there, man.
Well, mate, you missed it. And they sponsor me, so I'm going to just give you a prop. Also, if you need any supplements, go down to Monster Sport Nutrition and load up.
And you also can't purchase them at King Ape, who look after me.
Oh, dearie me. Bills are in. Sam will be and you're going
friends.
Off.
No, they're friends.
I know.
We're all friends.
Hey, well, at least Sam wasn't the one trying to steal his internet.
What's that all about? He messaged me, that guy.
What's that all about?
Hey, it's just business.
Yeah.
Silence.
Not in a small town like Canberra.
As I said to
not.
Billy, I go, that's the business equivalent of a king hit at the piss trough. Yeah.
We want to thank Ian and the team at the Butcher Shop for sponsoring the podcast.
And
without
Cess.
Them, yeah, and Cess, of course, Cameron. We wouldn't be here without those guys.
Cameron.
Yeah, well, his real name's Cameron, but everyone calls him Cess.
I think we discussed this last year.
Well, I don't know how that happened, but that's what it was.
Why isn't he Cam?
Learn the sponsor's name.
Some people call him Cam. Some people call him Cameron. Some people call him Sess.
Learn the sponsor's name, you arrogant prick.
Well, sorry. I'm sorry, Pot. Sorry, Pot. Well, can you please repeat that?
I'm getting head kicked next session. Thank you very much.
That's going to be my new text tone. Learn the sponsor's name, arrogant prick.
I'm starting a GoFundMe page for my concussions.
I'll send you the MP3 of that, Benny, so you can use that on your phone. If you've got a question for next week's podcast, hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/uppercutpodcast. You can also email it through uppercutpodcast@gmail.com. That is it for us this week. Juki, thank you again, mate. And Benny, we'll see you next week.
I've got a new sign-off, man.
Oh, have you? So I'll go, all right, we'll get a big black dog up
here. It's kind of an acronym.
Okay.
Just work with me.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
See you next Thursday.
I understand. Nice.
You get it?
I get what
it
you
mean. Like,
yeah.
Oh, well, my sign off?
That's it.
Men's pet, women's pet, what you see is what you get. What you don't see is better yet. Thank you for tuning in to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Duke of Canberra checking out.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride.
Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing.
And Steve can get all Barry White and seduce the world into thinking everything is going to be just fine. That will happen in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Till next time.
So long.